Here in this place, we discover the great things God has done, in story and song, in silence, and in sacrament. We're reminded that God's relationship with us, which lasts forever. Here during the holy season, we hear these promises made so long ago, of the one who repairs all our mistakes, of the one who reshapes our brokenness. Let us open our red Mennonite hymnal to number 121, Comfort, Comfort Ye My People. Liana will sing the first verse and we will join her for the other ones.
Comfort ye my people, speak ye peace, thus saith the Lord. Comfort those who sit in darkness, mourning beneath their sorrows, Lord. Speak ye to Jerusalem of the peace that waits for them. Tell her that her sins I cover, and the warfare now is over. Yea, her sins our God will pardon, blotting out each dark misdeed. All that well deserved is anger. He no more will see or heed. She hath suffered many day. Now her griefs are passed away. God will change her pine and sadness into ever spring. One that crieth in the desert far and near, bidding all men to repentance, since the kingdom now is here. Oh, that warning cry obey, now repent.
To this Advent service. We're glad that we can enjoy the warmth of being inside together. Are there any guests that would like to be introduced today? If not, I would ask you to take your bulletin, and young Mary will come up and read the what's called call to worship with us. We are basically, as a congregation, reading Psalm 146, and Mary is reading from Luke.
Happy are those whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord their God. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. Our hope is in the one who made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them. For the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is God's name.
Our hope is in the One who keeps faith forever, who executes justice for the oppressed, gives food to the hungry, who sets the prisoners free, who opens the eyes of the blind, who lifts up those who are bowed down, who loves the righteous, who watches over the strangers, who upholds the orphans and the widows.
The Lord has shown mercy from generation to generation, lifted up the lowly, and filled the hungry with good things. The way of the wicked God brings to ruin. The Lord has shown strength with his arm, has scattered the proud in thoughts of their hearts, brought down the powerful from their thrones, and sent the rich away empty.
The Lord will reign forever, your God, O Zion, for all generations.
God has helped his servant Israel, in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and Sarah, and to their descendants forever.
Praise the Lord.
It's children's time. Children, come up, please.
Now it is. Good morning. How are you? Good. Excited? Three candles? Okay, the grown-ups this morning are going to be talking about, I just want to get this right, including the excluded. That means making sure that people who feel like they don't fit in, feel like they fit in. How many of you have ever felt like you don't fit in? Yeah. We all feel sometimes like we don't fit in. So today, I'm going to show you a picture story about people that didn't fit in and that were invited to come. So it's called Come and See. It's a new book. It's hard to turn the pages. In the hills was sudden music. Come and see. Come and see. The sheep and shepherds heard. In winter night, a morning light. Come down the rocky road and see. In the cold, a new bloomed rose. In our sleeping town, the shepherds knock. Come see. Come out and see. Doors open slow, then wide. Mother, father, come and see. Come where? See what? Come and see the world made new. The same old world, but new. You guys know what they're talking about? Well, let's keep going. We run to the innkeeper's stable. Come see. Come here and see. The shepherds lead the way. It's a new book. It roofs a tender family, a new baby in the hay. What are they going to see? Jesus, I think there he is. The mother's resting on the straw against the donkey's side. Come see, come in and see. The oxen stamp their hoofs and breathe to keep the baby warm. We children lift our lamps to see, the townsfolk crowd behind. See there in the manger, look how the cattle guard him. We watch the newborn baby swaddled in the hay. The shepherds lay down skins of milk. The innkeeper brings out bread and wine. It's time for joy and feasting. But shh, he's fast asleep now. Come out and let them sleep now. In the chill air, we eat and drink our fill, glad at this midnight chance. Then, slowly in the starlight, come dance. Come now and dance. Shepherds, strangers, travelers, townsfolk, quietly in the starlight, come dance. Take hands and dance. We all begin to dance. Around the sleeping baby, we all together dance. So, the grown-ups are going to be hearing about people that don't fit in being made to fit in. And the book was about a lot of people that maybe don't always fit together, but seeing the baby Jesus brought them all together. So can we bow for prayer? Heavenly Father, thank you for this blessed Advent season and for the joy I see in the children's faces in front of me. Please help us all to remember to include everyone. Amen. Off you go. Have fun.
So we're going to practice including the excluded by singing the song we missed, Come Light of the World. If you'd like to turn to your bulletins with me, you see all those that are in personal care homes and need our thoughts and prayers. Jake Thames is at home right now. He also continues to recover and need our prayers. For those of you that aren't busy enough, please get your annual reports in by December 15th. Reminder for the Christmas Eve program that practices on the 22nd for all that applies to. And for everybody else that's wanting to know how they can contribute, the council, of course, would like to you to think about that. So number four, please think about council opportunities. And number five, faith exploration classes. I think there's one name in already. And Pastor Franz and Pastor Tim are looking forward to seeing who else might come and join them. Anybody can join. If you haven't been to catechism for 20 years, might be a good time for a refresher. And the child education service is in January. Number seven and on is all the wonderful programs that are happening. Please read, see where you may be able to fit yourself in. I do like number 12, but that I'm. Any other announcements I missed, or anybody that'd like to share something? Let us sing together out of the Blue Book, number 184, Hark the Glad Sound, 184.
Thank you.
us bow for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, as once again we prepare for Christmas, help us to find time in our busy lives for quiet thought and prayer. May we reflect upon the wonder of your love and allow the story of Savior's birth to penetrate our hearts and our minds. So may our joy be deeper, our worship more real, our lives worthier of all that you have done through us, for us, through the coming of Jesus, your Son. We pray for the church, the wider Christian family who will celebrate this festival in so many different ways, and those who dare not celebrate openly. For Christians in countries where there is persecution. For Christians in our own country with whom we will share our celebrations. And for our own church family. Grant us all that we come into this Christmas time renewed in a relationship with you. We pray for peace. Give peace to the world. Give peace to the victims of war. Give peace to families and friends. Give peace to our divided hearts. We know that without justice, there can be no peace. Let peace come through the transformation of our lives, that we can do justice, love, and kindness, and walk humbly with you. We pray for homeless people, for refugees who have no country to call home. Let your blessings be with those who work with the homeless this Christmas, to give all the determination to help where we can. We pray for those who are lonely, those who are lonely because they've lost a loved one, lonely because no one seems to care, lonely because of handicap or illness. Let your presence be with those who are alone in the season. Let their friendship come to them. Let us be that to them this year. We pray for friends and family who are ill at this time. Remember them in the quietness of our hearts. We bring them to you in confidence that you love them, and that you know their need, and that your healing power is still there today. Bless all that is done for their recovery and answer of prayers. Merciful Father, accept these prayers in the name of our Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. As we take the offering, Leanna will have a song for us.
That your baby boy would someday walk on water. Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child you delivered will soon deliver you. Mary, did you know that your baby boy would give sight to a blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will calm a storm with his hand? Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod? And when you kissed your little baby, then you kissed the face of God. Thank you. did you know that your baby boy will one day rule the nations? Did you know that your baby boy was heaven's perfect lamb? This sleeping child you're holding is a great, the great.
Thank you, Trudy and Leanne, for sharing your gifts with us. The scripture reading this morning is Matthew chapter 11, verses 2 to 11. When John, who was in prison, heard about the deeds of the Messiah, he sent his disciples to ask him, "Are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else?" Jesus replied, "Go back and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the good news is proclaimed to the poor. Blessed is anyone who does not stumble on account of me." As John's disciples were leaving, Jesus began to speak to the crowd about John. "What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed swayed by the wind? If not, what did you go out to see? A man dressed in fine clothes? No, those who wear fine clothes are in king palaces. Then what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it was written, 'I will send my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way before you go.' Truly I tell you, among those born of women, there was none risen anyone greater than John the Baptist. Yet whoever is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." I also found a short prayer regarding this. Oh God, we come today echoing God's John the Baptist's question of your beloved child. Are you the one who's to come? Give us eyes to see and ears to hear the answers for ourselves in the work of justice, in the practice of mercy, in good news for the poor, in vision of peace. Make us ready, open our hearts with joyful spirits to follow in Christ's way.
Good morning. I am a little bit hurried and harried today. I was at Patania this morning and had both a German and an English meditation there. And then I rushed over here. So, first of all, I need calm in myself. I also am to say some greetings from some of our members at Patania who were happy to receive your greetings, which I gave on your behalf without asking you. I figured it's better to ask for forgiveness than permission. Okay. John the Baptist is in prison. People in prison have a lot of time to think about, all sorts of questions. John is there because he spoke the truth in power. And there in that dark dungeon, he begins to wonder about Jesus. It seems to me that John sees in Jesus the most unlikely Messiah. There were clear expectations of what the Messiah ought to be. And when I look here in the congregation this morning, I can say with pretty good assurance that as many people as here are, there are that many expectations. And they are different from each other. You know, we not only have each one a different fingerprint, we are very different in person, in personality, in who we are. And that is beautiful. That is great. Imagine God created billions of people, and no one is like the other. There is beauty in that, but there's also a problem. Because, you know the old saying, birds of a feather flock together. We like people who are like us. We like people who share our values, who share our history, who share our culture. How can you understand somebody who is different? You can try, but they are different. And it's not quite the same. I experienced it just yesterday. We have this custom here, since most of my family is in Germany, and my wife's family also, whenever those shall meet, because one are north and the other in the south, and they speak different languages too. I have a few cousins here in Canada. So we made it a point, ever since I got to Canada, that we meet every year in the Advent season, just the cousins. They're just four of us. And we met yesterday. And we sat around the table and we had a great time. And we slipped to Low German. And we remembered things. And we had lots of laughter. But we were so alike. We shared the same histories. We knew each other's lives, both the good and the bad. That you just need to indicate something and everybody knew what you were talking about. That's comfortable, isn't it? You feel at home. You are relaxed. You don't have to pretend anything. I know we all wear masks. You do, if you know it or not. We had fun with students when I was still a teacher. I observed once that on the schoolyard during break, we would know which language the students would speak. It was in South America. And when they spoke German, the body language would show us that. And if they spoke Spanish, the body language would indicate that too. The whole body was different when they spoke Spanish than when they spoke German. The German, oh, you stand up, yo. And then they switched to Spanish, and suddenly the hands were flying all over the place. Even within us, we are different. If you put blue jeans and boots and a nice warm pullover on, you feel a certain way. If you put on a suit and tie, try that with your kids. They behave differently, don't they? We have different masks. We portray ourselves to people all the time, depending on the circumstances. That's okay. That's why we have traditions. That's why we have certain expectations, and that we know who's in, who's out. If you don't fit, you don't fit. For John the Baptist, what he expected and what he saw didn't fit. It just didn't fit. So, I like that bottom. He didn't beat around the bush. He sent people and said, okay, are you the one or not that we're expecting? Are you the Messiah? Or should we wait for somebody else? Now, when you would ask me that, are you the preacher or not? I would feel a little bit offended, I must say. But John wants to know. So he asks him. And then Jesus gives a very peculiar answer. He doesn't say yes or no. But in his answer, he builds on something that he knows John knows. He says, go tell John, the blind see, the lame go, the sick are healed, the poor hear the gospel, the good news. Go tell him that. What John knows is that that is a prophecy of the Messiah to come that characterizes who he is. So, in short and very bluntly, Jesus could have said, yes, tell him I am it. That's it. Nobody else to come. So you better make peace with that, right? No. He builds on what is laid for centuries, for at least 8 centuries, maybe a lot longer, before the birth of Christ. The expectations, the knowledge of what was, and what does happen. Now, the conference, when they talked about this Sunday, they called it, you know, God's healing is at hand. And I like that theme, and it's great. But the more I worked at it, I said, healing is not what this is all about at all. Okay, we talk about healing here. He talks about the lame and the blind and the sick and the dead and so forth. But what he really is saying is that, look, people, these are the ones. Now, you know your Old Testament. You know there were purity laws, right? And that meant laws that excluded people. If you were sick, you were not allowed to worship in the temple. If you were a woman, you were not allowed to worship in the temple. If you had an amputated limb, you were not allowed to worship in the temple. If somebody was a eunuch at the time, it was a common thing that they did to each other, you were not allowed to worship in the temple. If you were a leper, you were unclean. You were not allowed to worship in the temple. Any one who was not in good shape, healthy, and whole was excluded. And then you look at the miracles of healing in the New Testament. Now take your time sometimes this week and read through the Gospels and see if I'm right. It seems to me that the miracles of healing all point to those that were declared unclean in the Old Testament. So when Jesus tells John, tell his disciples, tell him what you observe, what I have done, and John will see. Then he is telling them, him, and telling us, that those that were excluded are now included. It is not about the healing. When you look at the healing miracles, you'll see that one after another, there are different categories that were the excluded ones according to the old law. Not everybody got healed. Not everybody was so lucky. Not even then, there, in that space, and in that time. And not today. No, it's not about the healing. It is the message, the good news for us today. Listen, people. Jesus deliberately, or the evangelists that report, deliberately selected to show Jesus' healing at least of every category of persons who, according to the purity laws of Jesus' society, were specifically excluded and labeled unclean, or who were set at varying degrees of distance from worship in the inner temple. That is a quote from Jeffrey John's book, The Meaning of the Miracles. When we think about that, what does it mean today for us? Those excluded were women, lepers, Samaritans, Gentiles, tax collectors, prostitutes, adulterers, children, people with any sort of handicap, and the dead, of course. And Jeffrey John goes on to speak of the universal significance of Jesus' miracles, which is the overturning of religious and social barriers the abolition of taboos, and Jesus' declaration of God's love and compassion for everyone, expressed in the systematic inclusion of each class of the previously excluded or marginalized. So, most of the healing miracles then fulfill a mission that can be expressed in the phrase, including the excluded. The public ministry of Jesus is in large part dedicated to this effort, and the people around him recognize, yes, they recognize, that he is overturning old standards. Now, not only do we like people who are like us, we also like our traditions. And don't you dare change those, okay? We have a certain way of doing things, and there's comfort in that. And that's not bad. That's good. But if it becomes exclusionary, then I have to set a question mark. Whom do we exclude today? Now, maybe they are not the same people as they were in the time of Jesus. Those marginalized and excluded at the time of Jesus were different people than they might be today. And some of the people at the time of Jesus noted that he changed their standards, their traditions, that they had held to for hundreds, maybe thousands of years. And some of them embraced it and rejoiced. And some of them weren't so sure. And there were others who were very sure. They didn't like it. They hated it. And they started to plot his death. When we go into Christmas, the Easter season is not far away, the Lenten season, right? The suffering follows the anticipation. So, when we do a little bit of introspection today, who are the people who are excluded today, and what is the good news for us today? I would add some to that group. Yes, women might still be classified in that category. Prostitutes for sure, adulterers, sometimes even children, and sometimes even the handicapped. Because we think they are not fully human. I just, as I said, came from Bethania. And there sit a whole bunch of people in wheelchairs, dependent on others, to be clothed, to be fed, to be put into that chair and brought to the chapel. And you know what? Very often they feel terrible about it. There's a lot of depression in that place. A lot of sadness, a lot of feeling that I am not good enough anymore. There are a lot of people who think that they are not lovable because they're old, because they're handicapped, because they have had a stroke or a heart attack or Alzheimer's or whatever they had. And they sit there and they're waiting for good news. And I could tell them good news. I could tell them, you know what? God came into this world for you, as you are, not in a perfect state, because that is the message of today's text. You might feel excluded. You might feel that the changes that Jesus brings are threatening. You might feel that God is not fulfilling your hopes and wishes. Oh, you had this beautiful expectation, especially when you were children, right? That's why I always envy the children. Man, they can still have those beautiful expectations, full, waiting for Christmas. Wow, that will be great. And then I grew older and I grew more cynical. And I say, let's pretend it's going to be great. And we'll sing happy songs and do as if everything is great, yet there's an emptiness in our heart. Jesus says to those of us who feel that way, you know, tell them, the lame walk, the blind see, the deaf hear, and even the dead are resurrected to life. Yes, we expect the coming of the Messiah. Advent season has that purpose, to prepare us for God's coming in our midst. So how do we receive Him? How do we celebrate, really and joyously, with an expectation not bound by exclusion of people who are different from us, of people who are not perfect, of people who are a pain in the neck? Yeah, even those in your families, that they are included too. That is a sign of Christmas. That is a sign of God's coming to us in our lives. So the challenge is that we want to be loyal to Jesus and His mission. Then we must Him include Him in the excluded. We must include Him in the excluded. Listen to this. Somebody wrote this up once and gave it to me, and I like it, so I'm sharing it with you. It actually was inspired by from a sermon from John of Chrysostom, one of the great preachers in ancient times and in the ancient church. And he is complaining about Christians who construct beautiful church buildings while overlooking the needs of the poor. And this man was pondering what that meant for us today, and this is what he shared. What is the good of stringing up lights in honor of Christmas if Christ is left in the darkness and the person of the excluded? First, welcome Him, the excluded person, and the person of the unacceptable. Then put lights on your houses. Suppose you see someone who is treated like trash, and you have no kind word to offer, but you send out cards in honor of his birth. You know, all those Christmas cards you get? Suppose you meet someone condemned for ethnicity or for sexual orientation and do nothing to bring about justice, but you praise that person in joyous carols in your worship services. Will not all this seem like mockery and a most extreme insult to Jesus? Yet how easily we do this with Him, forgetting that He appears to us in all those very, very faces. Chrysostom says nothing wrong with building beautiful, great cathedrals. There's nothing wrong with the customs we associate with Christmas. They are beautiful customs, and they are to be enjoyed. But we must be sure to practice something which belongs to the heart of our faith. We must do as the Messiah Himself did. We must include those who are excluded. Each one of us can take action in this way before Christ is born again here at North Cadoon Mennonite Church. Amen.
My soul proclaims with wonder the greatness of our Lord. Rejoicing in God's greatness, my spirit is restored. To me has God shown favor, to one the world may frame, and will echo the angels' first all hail. greatness of the Lord. Rejoice in God's greatness, my spirit is restored. God's mercy shields the faithful and saves them from the greed. With strength that turns to scatter the proud and their conceit, my soul proclaims with wonder the greatness of the Lord. Rejoicing in God's greatness, my spirit is restored. The mighty have been vanquished, the lowly lifted up, the hungry find abundance, the rich an empty cup. My soul proclaims with wonder the greatness of the Lord. Rejoicing in God's greatness, my spirit is restored. To Abraham's descendants, the Lord will steadfast prove. The God has made with Israel a covenant of love. My soul proclaims with wonder the greatness of the Lord. Rejoicing in God's greatness, my spirit is restored.
Let us rise for the benediction and remain standing for the final closing song. As we have been challenged today, may God make you increase in love for one another. May Christ Jesus teach you how to live in God's ways. And may the Holy Spirit strengthen your hearts in holiness as you ready yourself for the coming of the Lord. We go in peace to love and to serve the Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. In the blue hymnal, number 178, Come Thou Long Expected Jesus, 178.